Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I've been kind of following what the has been reported about challenges with air travel, and specifically the Newark Airport. They have had some harrowing experiences there, and one has to ask whether the Newark Airport is the canary in the coal mine for the air travel industry. Many experts say yes, that it's a strong indication of things to come if we don't pay more attention. Lori Garrow, professor and an aviation expert, at Georgia Tech, joins us. Lori, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Lori, is Newark the canary in the coal mine?
Well, Newark has some unique issues, but I think that it is highlighting some of the challenges, right, that our air traffic control system has due to age and limitations, just as over the decades, more and more people have traveled.
Yeah. I was looking at the numbers of the growth of this industry, and they are mind-numbing over the last 10 to 15 years, the rate of growth, and obviously that growth is really stressing our system out.
Yeah, so, I mean, the good news is that air travel helps support the economy, helps people travel, gets our goods and, medical equipment, organs for transplants, all those kind of things to places they need to go very quickly. But as the infrastructure has not been really able to keep up, so airlines can use some strategies like swapping out smaller aircraft for larger aircraft, so that, you're landing a big plane instead of a small plane at certain areas. But we've sort of reached we're reaching our capacity constraints.
There are predictions that by 2035, air traffic will increase up to 100%, meaning an extra 3.7 billion passengers that will need to be accommodated by airports around the world. When we look at ourselves here in the U.S. and compare ourselves to airports in other areas of the world, where do we actually stand from a technological standpoint, a throughput standpoint?
So technology-wise, I think many airports throughout the world are, in the same boat, so to speak, looking at the, older technologies for monitoring aircraft, doing air traffic control. You do have some countries that are more aggressively investing in their airport infrastructure, expanding gates, looking at how we're going to accommodate new aircraft types that might be electric for electric vertical takeoff and landing, hydrogen-based planes, et cetera. So in terms of, current operations, I'd say we're on par, but looking at maybe future technologies, a little bit behind, in my opinion.
There seems to be much disagreement as to what it's going to take and what it's going to cost to be able to improve the system. As an expert in this field, on a scale from 1 to 10, where would you put us? 10 being great, 1 being not so good?
Probably, again, on my opinion, I would say 3. And I think one of the more powerful statements that came out this morning from Sean Duffy, the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, is that, you know, he plans on going to Congress and asking for a multi-billion dollar investment to really, you know, rehaul, you know, our aging systems and some of the precursors of what was happening in Newark. So, you know, we're looking at understaffing of ATC, the air traffic controllers, as well as, you know, infrastructure that's in place, been in place since the 70s and 80s. So looking forward, I'm hoping we can, you know, really modernize, but think of more of a modular design, meaning, you know, we're not going to do the quickest solution now and then, you know, not be able to bring in new technologies, let's say 5 years from now when, you know, newer technologies come online. So, you know, I'd really like to see us get a nice infrastructure that's modular that lets us expand as the new technologies come online, so we're not in this boat again, you know, 20 to 30 years from now.
We're visiting with Lori Garrow, professor and aviation expert at Georgia Tech. Lori, we've been talking about the what. This is the outcome. Why do we find ourselves in this predicament? And if it's our structure, are there other areas, or do we have an example of a different structure that seems to be working great?
So why we're in this, I think, you know, boat to begin with is, you know, a combination of factors. Newark being, again, probably one example of, you know, multiple factors that came together. We do have a shortage of air traffic controllers, probably, I think it was quoted, 3,000 short. Part of that is COVID-related, as the DOT secretary pointed out this morning. So we have a training center in Oklahoma, similar to, you know, the airlines. I think the recovery post-COVID was just so fast, it was hard to ramp up that quickly. So the pipeline for, you know, new controllers is down. But then the other thing to keep in mind is that the airline industry as a whole, safety always comes first. And with that, we crawl to solutions, we don't run, because we don't want to make a mistake that, you know, inevitably leads to an accident. And so change tends to happen, I think, more slowly in aviation. And if you don't have, you know, continual funding or, you know, let's say a big influx, I do think it's, you know, somewhat easy, right, to find ourselves in the solution of, or predicament, I should say, of where we haven't really made changes over the last, you know, again, 50 years, older equipment. So it's probably changing that mindset and really doing, you know, a large investment, unfortunately, at this point, to make the improvements.
Yeah, I kind of asked that question because there was something that the Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said that was kind of scary. Said we're buying parts for these systems on eBay because you can't buy them new. There's no one manufacturing them. And it's kind of like, okay.
I mean, yeah, although that's also
a common
problem.
That's not very reassuring.
Yeah, although I think that's also a common problem in, like, the automotive industry, where you might have certain car models that get old, and then you just start to stop reproducing them. So, but yeah, I hadn't heard that comment, but I mean, it does show just how old, let's say, the systems are, and the fact they aren't being, you know, reproduced.
Well, most technological improvements, they have this thing that I called it planned obsolescence. In my previous life, I was a sheriff, and we'd have these radio systems. The day that they came out, they had already planned on when they were going to be obsolete, you know, so, and when they would stop supporting them, which I always just found a little bit curious. And obviously their business model is they don't really want a product that's going to last for a lifetime. And I got to imagine it's the same thing in the aviation industry.
It is, although I would argue in some ways we do plan for larger horizons, right? Unlike a you know, car that we might replace every 7 years, a plane can last 30 or more years.
Correct.
Many of the systems were very good when they were built in the 60s and 70s for, you know, quickly processing transactions and, you know, providing consistency in the data that's also overlaid the safety aspect, right? You know, so fast transmission of information in ways that people can understand, you know, help survive, right, the passage of time. So that's so I would say aviation does plan for longer horizons. And then again, it's sort of this, you know, I just view it as safety is always first. And so making change on a radio transmission, for instance, what's the worst that would happen if that, you know, if it wasn't obsolete when it was? Maybe you're delayed to a call, but like in aviation, if you make a mistake, lives are at stake, right? So when you are implementing new things, there's multiple layers of redundancy, longer testing that's really done to make sure that any new system or change is going to work and to maintain and or enhance the safety levels.
I was surprised to hear that we don't have a high level of redundancy in our systems, and we're not utilizing satellite technology as much as I would have thought that we would have by creating regional redundant centers in case, you know, like in Newark the other day, you had a 90-second blackout where, you know, you could transfer to a standby unit that would cover like the Eastern Seaboard to take over communications and things of that nature utilizing satellites. I mean, it's done in the telecommunications industry in a big way. I was kind of curious why we haven't embarked on that, or maybe we have in the aviation industry.
So we are looking at it as well, right? And redundancy clearly in terms of, you know, extra centers, or that was part of the Newark problem, was they were transmitting data and the backup line was overwhelmed and failed. So there was at least redundancy planned. It's just, you know, both a primary and redundancy field in Newark, which is why the screen went black there. Having said that, though, aviation, remember, you have multiple players. So like for the satellite technologies, for looking at putting new technologies on, part of it goes, let's say, on the government side, right, tracking the aircraft. But the second is you actually need sensors or information on the aircraft to be able to, you know, track them and consistency. And usually that's a airline investment to put on the aircraft versus the, you know, air traffic controllers is more of a government investment. So, again, you imagine now you have to build consensus among the airline industry on what those technologies are. And, you know, one of the arguments is that those that are the low-cost carriers are disproportionately harmed if they're investing, you know, a large part in the technology that's probably going to raise fares more than like a larger carrier that can absorb those technology enhancements better. So it's multiple players in my mind, you know, that all need to sort of come to a consensus and figure out how they're going to equitably distribute the costs for all of these enhancements and share the benefits.
If you had to bet on this, do we get there? You know, I didn't realize that we had these disparate issues as it relates with planes communicating with towers and things of that nature. How do we accommodate that now? I mean, if we have that challenge, I mean, there's not a standardized template by which we are communicating with airplanes.
So there is a standard template in which we're communicating with airplanes. But if we want to move to the newer technologies, again, we need those templates in place
and updating them, right?
So looking at it.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm optimistic. I think that in some ways we don't have a choice, right? We're at the point where we need to modernize. More things are coming, right? If we, for instance, want to look at incorporating in new electric vertical takeoff and landing, which carriers such as United, Delta, and others, you know, are investing in to help do trips to the airport or, you know, think about replacements for helicopters, that's going to put more traffic in the air. We need to basically make sure we're, you know, going through and helping on that. So I think we've reached, I don't want to say a breaking point, but I think we've reached the point where we have met our capacity limitations, and, you know, technology is one way that we can help solve those constraints.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into this for certain as the traveler. I'm going to be going through Newark in the very near future. And
I have on the to one ask, hand, are you making a connecting flight or are you just stopping
in
Newark?
Yes, I am. I have a I have about a 6.5 hour layover. So
okay, that's smart. I was going to say, I hope you did more than 30 minutes.
So, in fact, I think, you know, the airline has already been making these modifications, right? And it, what was, I think, a 2.5 hour layover is now a 6.5 hour layover. So it seems as though the airlines themselves are taking remedial action on a number of their flights and the way that they're scheduling going in and out of Newark, because Newark, I think, is one of the busiest international airports on the Eastern Seaboard, right?
Yeah, it is a hub for United Airlines. And to that extent, they themselves voluntarily cut back flights into the airport. And then there's a meeting later this week that the DOT secretary called, where he's getting multiple airlines around the table to really discuss collaboratively how they can cut the number of departures back at Newark to, again, help while these shortages on the air traffic controllers are going on, because you can't process as many flights into and out of the airport if you're limited on your number of controllers.
So where would they do, Lori? They would divert to other airports? Are there others that have capacity?
So let's say you're United Airlines and you were flying international. You would be looking probably at doing those aircraft swaps would be the first one. So if you limit the number of flights in, the idea is that you try to carry as many passengers as you can into the airport, but using larger aircraft. So, that's the one thing is, can I, you know, instead of taking my little tiny Prius to the airport as a way to think about it, can I take the big limousine that serves more? So that's one strategy they can look at. And then they could look at routing through different ones. So if you were coming from Florida to Newark to, let's say, going to Europe, they might look and see, can we fly you through Chicago instead? So looking at diverting over other airports or routing you through different connecting cities.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting process that this is going to go through. And how much does a direct flight, like, you know, from so many different airports into these major airports, does that contribute to this traffic situation that we have?
So it is not only the number of flights going in, but it's the number of flights that come in on a specific hour. So the way I like to think about it is, imagine you're a controller and you're helping make sure that the flights take off and land safely. And so it's, flights you're processing, right? So if you're looking at all these movements, it's a lot easier to manage, let's say, 10 flights an hour than it is 40, right? You get information overload. There's a point at which the controllers can't safely monitor all of the movements, or process in. So when you have, limited number of controllers, you need to reduce the number of flights so that you're within human capacity of being able to process the information and make sure things stay safe. So I don't know if that quite answered your question, but that's sort of how I'm viewing the problem.
It does. What's interesting, too, is that, you know, most airports don't operate 24 hours a day. I mean, they typically, I think, what is it, 11 p.m. or midnight, you know, you're not going to see many flights taking off or landing at that hour until about, you know, 5 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. in the morning. And it's just, you know, having managed a staff of over 1,700 at one point in time in my career, it's interesting that we just sat on the sidelines and watched this human capital dissipate in front of our eyes and not really have a plan to backfill. When you look at the numbers of growth annually in air travel, I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And I just can't imagine, you know, why somebody would sit around and not try and resolve this issue. And why now? I mean, thankfully, Sean Duffy seems to be pretty aggressive on this issue. We've talked about it a lot, but didn't really see a whole lot of remedial action taking place.
So I think you have good insights on that, and you're asking the right questions.
Yeah. I say to my audience, call your congressman and congressperson. Put the pressure on them. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to ask you this question, but I won't put you on the spot. But it's like, would you fly into Newark? I mean, we have a lot of folks that are doing that on our trip, and it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, should we move it to somewhere else? These are legitimate questions when they keep losing 90 seconds, blackout screens in multiple occasions, and you're wondering, how do you manage this when you can't see anything?
And it's... So I can respond on that. So two pieces of this is that, I went back beforehand, whenever air traffic accident happens or there's serious delays, I'm an anxious flyer. I get very anxious about, getting on. If I were making a connection in Newark right now, yeah, I would. Exactly. If I were going through Newark right now, I would probably pick a different airport if I was making a connection, or like you, make sure I buffered a very long connection time to eliminate the stress. But having said that, again, Sean Duffy came out and said that on this particular Newark issue on why, the screen went blank, that it was basically a data transmission issue, and they put a patch in, a software patch, to make sure that this backup line was not going to get overwhelmed. And it appears, I think he said, it is working. So I think that they are more confident that they have a solution, let's say, to the issues that were popping up. Of course, time will tell. But I keep reminding myself, aviation is the safest mode of travel. I mean, would you rather drive, and take, the risk of, roadway accidents, or, aviation accidents are much less frequent. And also, like I said before, they're designed with these huge safety buffers in place. So when the system went down, there were plans in place, right? They automatically started circling the aircraft. You always have a backup airport you can get to if you need to, enough gas on board, fuel on board to do that. So aviation is planned with these huge safety margins in place. So when things do happen, we're able to keep you safe. So that's, in my mind, what I do. But I agree. I get nervous. And,
As a traveler,
I get nervous.
In all fairness to the system in general, the flip side is I'm not sure there's another airport getting as much attention as Newark right now. And
correct.
I think there's an upside to that, right?
Well, there is. And like I mentioned before, Newark's a very unique case because the decision was made last summer to literally move where, let's say, the air traffic controllers are from New York to Philadelphia. But they kept one system that basically processes the radar feeds in New York. And that's where they need to transmit that data down to the screens, right, that the controllers are looking at in Philadelphia. So that's not been done at another airport. So I wouldn't expect the issue to come up. But again, they thought they would have better luck staffing, in Philadelphia than in the New York area. So
right,
it's
cost of living and everything else that goes along.
Exactly, exactly. So in many ways, Newark, I think, is an isolated case, but it does highlight some of the challenges we have.
No doubt. Lori Garrow, professor and aviation expert at Georgia Tech. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Yes, thank you for inviting me, and you too.
Thank you very much. We will be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
So I guess I would love to hear from you, 504-260-1870, on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. What do you feel about what's happening with this airline industry issue? Your thoughts about whether or not you feel like it's safe, whether or not you're second-guessing a trip or otherwise. And I'd like to add another topic to this as well, and I'd love to hear what people are thinking about. So Qatar, however you want to say it, has offered up a $400 million, I think, plane to the United States. There are all kinds of restrictions about accepting foreign gifts. I'm kind of curious as what Qatar wants out of this. They kind of play both sides against the middle. They've actually loosely aligned themselves with some militant groups around the world, people that are not looking out for the best interests of the United States, that actually hate us. They hate us as Americans. And they've allowed them passage and the comforts of Qatar to stay there and operate from there, from afar, any number of things. And I don't know. It would seem to me, and I think some folks have said this both on the right and the left, is this action really about draining the swamp? It doesn't seem like it is to me. It seems very transactional. And maybe it's not revealed what Qatar's looking for right now, but at some point in time, I guarantee you, it's going to reveal itself. We may not know. We may not ever know. You know, things tend to disappear in D.C. And, you know, it's classified information. We don't find out about it. We don't do this. So why would you not take the safe course of action here and just respectfully decline? Yes, we have our challenges here in the United States, but not so much so that we would need to take a $400 million gift from Qatar. Now, Donald Trump, in true Donald Trump form, is attacking people that are questioning this. But unfortunately for him, there are many big-time supporters of his that are questioning it as well. And it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to go about dealing with this issue. There are a lot of people in broadcast news that are aligned and fully support the Trump administration that are saying this is not sensical. This is not ethical. This reeks. Why are you doing this? So it's going to be interesting to see what the dance is going to be, how we're going to tiptoe through the tulip, so to speak, on this particular issue. I think he should just flat out decline. I don't care whether or not legally they find a way to be able to accept this gift. I mean, I think he's even floated that, you know, the plane could ultimately end up in his museum. I don't like that either. Actually, I'm going to be quite honest about it. I did not realize that the federal government actually finances a lot of the operations of these presidential libraries. I don't understand why we're doing that either. Why are we financing some monument, you know, to our former leaders? It might just be more appropriate to put a statue up somewhere, right? But a presidential library? Look, I've been to a number of them. I enjoy visiting them. I get it. But I thought these were not-for-profit centers that were actually being financed by individual donors. I had no idea that we continue to finance this through our tax dollars. And a lot of what's being built, we don't even have any say-so in what's going to ultimately happen there. Now, the lion's share of the money does come from the private sector. I get it. But why have any public money being spent there? If they decide that where it's going to be, how it's going to be, this, that, or otherwise, you know, why do we need to be involved in this at all? And I really believe that on many fronts, we're losing sight of where we're headed with our government, what it means, how we're going to spend our dollars, this whole thing. Trump has this tendency as a developer to look through the lens of at everything as though it is a transaction. That's not always healthy. We don't need Qatar to give us a $400 million jet. We don't need there to be a gray area where we're trying to assess whether or not who can actually receive this gift. How do we do it? Now they're saying it's a government-to-government transaction. Yeah, but that means a transaction. You have a meeting of the minds of two individuals on both sides of the transaction. Why do we need that jet? You know, they're saying that it could be used as Air Force One. How? We would basically have to strip large portions of the interior to put our security systems and everything else that we do in that particular plane. The plane wasn't designed to be the presidential plane. I'm told that it's a flying palace, is what I've read. But why? And are we really going to save money? Yes, we've run into problems in the development of Air Force One. There are those that are saying this is just flat out, both on the right and the left, this is a bribe. So, you know, I don't know. I'd love to hear from you, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Tech Line on both of those issues. Do you feel safe in air travel? And do you think we should be accepting this plane? The president is calling members of the media that are asking him and questioning him about this transaction that it's a stupid question. I don't think so. I disagree. I think it's a legitimate question. Why do we need a $400 million gift from Qatar? They want to give us $400 million? Send it in cash. We can fund and finance all kinds of different things that we ordinarily would do. A plane? An afterthought for them? I don't know. Why do we want it? We'll be right back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Talking about two things, airline safety. How do you feel about what's going on in the country today, as well as an airplane being given as a gift by the Qatari government? Some people refer to it as Qatar, and I seem to have confused some. Let's go to Mike on line one. Mike, you're up. What say you?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. This plane with Qatar, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, it's not even by far the worst thing he's done as far as obvious corruption. But way back when he first started running, in his whole life, he's basically built up this defense around him where people will excuse anything he does. He has got a free reign. There's nothing he can do that his MAGA base will criticize him for. And he just, you know, he just has a carte blanche. The other thing that made news yesterday is he takes in these white South Africaners as refugees. You know, with all the heat that this administration has taken over immigration and refugee status, you're going to bring over white South Africaners with a false narrative, by the way. The narrative was that they were being killed, and the real story is that there's a lot of violence going on over there in the rural areas, but most of the people being killed are black. So, but he didn't bring any more black African because they're from, well, you know what he calls those countries. So it's just so disappointing, and you know, I wish the MAGA people would just realize how ridiculous they look year after year when he keeps doing this kind of stuff, because this is who he is, and this is not the guy they should have given a blank check for.
Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Gregory. Gregory, you're up. What say you?
Hey, no, nice to talk to you. I don't think Trump's going to take that plane. I mean, he's smarter than that. You know, this guy, he's good. And I just want to key on this guy. That stuff in South Africa, and especially that guy Mugabe, whatever his name was, he was murdering and burning farms and murdering white people. So, you know, gee whiz, that's just crazy. But I wanted to comment on your interview with a good friend of mine, Mary Beth Romig, who I grew up with in Lakeview. I went to St. Dominic's School with her and her siblings and her cousins. The Romigs owned Lakeview back in the day. And when I was at Brother Martin, sorry, not Jesuit, Newell, she was one of our cheerleaders. She's a couple of years ahead of me. I was I was a freshman. I think she was a junior or a sophomore, but she was one of the cutest little things on the football field and at basketball games, which I used to play. But she's just a wonderful people, wonderful family, and kudos to you for having her on because, you know, they were just a great family. That goes back to her father and her father's brother. There was a whole bunch of Romigs. I mean, you couldn't throw a rock without hitting a Romig at St. Dominic School, you know what I mean? Out there in Lakeview. But she still is cute, and just like you said, she's probably the most energetic of all the Romigs. And her cousin Greg, I'm Greg too, him and I went from kindergarten all the way through St. Dominic and all the way through Brother Martin, year by year by year, and just a wonderful family.
Yep,
so absolutely, thank you for
no
that.
Doubt. And a lot of energy. She's
doing
she does
a good
great
job.
Work for New Orleans and company.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And I think Donald Trump's doing a good job in the long view. In the long view.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I try to separate the manner in which he does certain things from what he's actually doing. A lot of times the way he handles himself, I don't agree with the approach that he has. I don't agree a lot of times with the way that he wants to characterize things. I think there's a much better way to do it. I think there's a shock factor that he enjoys, and I think he loves to create conflict sometimes when it's just not necessary to create conflict. I mean, you know, this practice of gift giving by foreign leaders to the United States goes back, you know, hundreds of years, you know, but I don't know that there's ever been something of the value of this $400 million gift is what they're saying the value of this plane could be. You know, there's been all kinds of different gifts. I mean, some that in my mind made sense, you know, like the Resolute desk that is being redone right now. There's been a number of stories about that as to whether or not, you know, Trump was going to bring that desk back into the Oval Office or not. It's made from timbers of the Her Majesty's ship, Resolute. It was given to the United States by Queen Victoria back in the late 1800s. You know, there's any number of articles that are floating around about these list of gifts that have been given. But none of the magnitude of this. And with a lot of the conflict that we have going on in the Middle East right now, you know, choosing a side, you know, like in one conflict is one thing. Choosing sides in all of these other things and accepting these gifts is something else. The optics are not good. And, you know, there are decisions that are going to have to be made here in the very near future, probably right now, that just this is not a good time to accept a gift like this. And timing is important, too, separate and apart from, obviously, the value and everything else. It's just not good. And I think he ought to reject it, quite frankly. And whether they find whether it's legal or not, is really not of much consequence to me. You can legally do a lot of things in your life, right? But it's not always good to do all. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to do all of those things because it may not work out for the best interests of you, the entity, the taxpaying public, or otherwise. So don't do it. Plain and simple. You know, no one's going to think less of you for declining the gift. I don't think. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We'll check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way. We'll be right back. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we'll talk about the latest concerning the plane. We'll also talk about Trump's...
The plane, boss.
The plane. he was a fun little guy. Yes. Trump's Attorney General Pam Bondi is launching what is described as a disturbing all-out war on the press. We'll talk a little bit about that. There's a traveling museum showcasing the history of failures. You know, not everything was a big success. We celebrate successes, but we're going to talk about some of the great failures in our society, products in particular that just failed Totally. So we'll have fun talking about that.
Stay tuned, folks. Scoot's headed your way with a great lineup. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great Tuesday evening. We'll see you again in the morning.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.